I'd have known this was going to be the last time me and Bubba was going to talk, I'd have thought of something better to say.
Hey, Bubba. Hey, Forrest. Forrest, why'd this happen?
You got shot. Then Bubba said something I won't ever forget.
I want to go home.
Bubba was my best good friend. And even I know that ain't something you can find just around the corner. Bubba was gonna be a shrimp and boat captain, but instead he died right there by that river in Vietnam.
Homemade broadcast episode 81, Radio St. Pete, RadioSt.Pete.com. I hope you're doing okay. Doing all right, man. Keeping it rolling, keeping it moving. Been busy, really busy, putting together events. Thank you everyone that came out to the open mic the other night. It was a lot of fun. We had 12 comedians perform, so it was fun. I wish there was a little more people there to actually watch the comics, but you know, I know it's a Tuesday night, it's a tough night, but $50 on the line. The next one is April 7th, and it is at Sly Bar again, of course, our good pals at Sly Bar. $50 again on the line for best comedian of the night. So come out, bring some pals, sit with us, have some laughs, drink some beers, you know, whatever you want to do. Then also getting together the April 24th. 2015 is the Homemade Broadcast presents We're Still Here, a showcase of Tampa Bay comedy, and that's going to be taking place at the CL Space, the Creative Loafing Loft. I don't know, one of those two. It's the same thing. It's just different names for the same thing. But that's down in Ybor, so I'm getting together all the stuff, getting all the sponsors all set up, and checks cashed, and so I can buy flyers and foods and assorted things. That's going to be a fun event. That's free. So find out more about that just by checking out our Facebook. You can RSVP and all that stuff. It's facebook.com/thehomemadebroadcast. We're starting to announce performers. We got Natasha Sam Rainey, who's been on this program not too long ago, a couple months ago, I guess, really. She's going to be on. She's a veteran from the Chicago comedy scene and has come back home here to the Bay Area. So she's a good friend and a really funny lady, so happy to have her. And also Cam Bertrand, who will probably be on here, I would imagine, in the next few weeks. I had to con that kid to get in here. Young fella, relative newcomer, but he's really good, man. He's really funny, and took home won a competition last weekend that paid him $250, and also won the open mic this past Tuesday. Took home his 50 there. Kid's a money-making machine, and he works hard, and it's paying off for him. So he'll also be on there. Also be releasing new comedians, new performers over the next few weeks until the 24th. So make sure you RSVP to that event. I'm pretty sure that the CL Space only holds 150 people, and I'm thinking, honestly, this is not exaggerating, just for my own gain, that we're going to have to turn people away for this one, because it's going to be slammed. It's going to be a lot of fun. So make sure you get on the Facebook and RSVP and all that. Should be a lot of fun. So anyways, today on the podcast, we have an artist, young lady who I've never ran cross paths with, I should say, which is kind of surprising because kind of in the same fields. I mean, I've been in some art shows and stuff like that, and I've never crossed paths with her. And actually, I don't even know how I found her. I follow her on Twitter, and I was like, hey, you should come do my show sometime. And I think it was actually through Rob Love, who did a couple things for me for the podcast. He knows her or something. I don't know. somehow we cross paths on online anyways. So finally, she was able to find some time and come in here. I believe she's moving, actually, from what I know about her on Twitter, to New York. So I think I'm going to catch her just before she leaves to continue her career out there. And that's basically the only thing I know about her. I know she's very pretty. She's almost as picture, or as pretty as the picture she draws. So I'm excited to finally meet her. And the magic of radio. We'll be right back with Emily Miller. Oh, wait, you know what? Let me do this before our sponsor, of course, Slybar. Check out why I Love the Berg is named Slybar one of the top businesses to watch in 2015. You got comedy shows. You got Cards Against Humanity tournaments, a lot of other fun stuff. Check them out on Facebook.com/Slybar St. Pete. Coming up this Sunday, it's the Cycle Life Spoke Card Ride. They get to go on a bike ride and everybody hangs out with each other. Maybe I'll bring the bicycle out and go there. It's supposed to be nice weather, so it might be a good time to go on a bike ride. It's supposed to get like down to 51 tomorrow or something crazy like that. I don't think we're even going to see close to that. Be lucky if we see 60. But hey, I'm happy to see the cold air stick around a little longer, and I'm ready. I want to wear jeans at least one more time. My legs are fat, and I hate wearing shorts, but comfort comes before all. So I'm really hoping we get some cooler weather this weekend. So thank you to Slybar for sponsoring this podcast. Definitely appreciate you. We love you very much. And without further ado, here is Emily Miller.
I was just thrown off for a second because I got a text message from the... I knew that was coming.
I knew that's... See, this is the thing. This is why girls could get away with this type of stuff. Hello, we're back. Emily's just walked in the building.
Hello.
So we're trying to figure out the levels. I was telling her I just got the new wires and the last one I noticed was really high. Emily got a new phone. We were just talking because she's pretty and the Sprint guy is now texting her, I guess, to see. I'm assuming probably the next words will be, hey, we should hang out sometime.
Well, it's inappropriate on a couple of levels is how it begins. And your smile is the reason I replaced your phone.
Wow.
Which is interesting because initially he said he would replace it without a picture from me. So
wow.
I thought it was going to be okay, but whatever.
Well, you know, maybe he is just a nice guy. He's trying to help you out. And then he fell into your eyes and drowned. Could be. I mean, that happens sometimes.
Oh, man.
So, yes, this is Emily Miller. Emily is a visual artist working in the St. Pete area temporarily, and then she's heading out to New York City,
yes.
The Big Apple, to take a bite out of the proverbial apple. Do you already have, like, a place picked out and everything?
No, I don't. I don't really have anything set up. I'm just going to wing it.
Damn, man. And I've heard of people doing this, and I really admire it because there's no way that I could ever do something that ballsy.
You think so?
I was upset. I was talking to you earlier about when I had to move across the street.
Right.
I went into panic mode and was freaking out. So I don't know how I would do, you know, on a up the country voyage or something like that. But people do it all the time. And I guess it's just like starting your life, you know?
I'm just good at being uncomfortable.
Yeah. I am too, and I'm always uncomfortable. Even in my own skin, in my body, I just sweat constantly, and it's terrible.
Florida.
But I mean, I guess I just get apprehensive about the unknown, you know?
Yeah.
Some people handle that better.
I'm just not worried about it. I don't really have a good reason for that. I guess just because I know that I can do it there. I was doing it here, and I'm just going to get better. And
so you're going to worry when it's appropriate to worry. You're not going to worry beforehand.
Well, I know now, I've done enough research that I know where I'm supposed to be looking. I know exactly what neighborhood I want to live in. I have a couch to stay on for at least 2 weeks.
Okay, there you go. So you're not just going to be like, get off the plane or bus or whatever.
No, I think that would probably be a stupid decision.
I've heard of that. That's like, did you ever see that movie Into the Wild? Were that kid?
No, I didn't, because I'm just going to tell you right now, I probably haven't seen the movie or TV show because I'm holed up in my own little...
I understand. I am too. I mean, this came out probably like 10 years ago.
I also didn't drink soda as a kid, so that's the kind of person you're dealing with.
Wow. Was it by choice or your parents didn't give it to you?
I was just a little sheltered girl.
I see. So you missed out on Surge?
Yeah, and I missed out on internet games too. Like video games. Uh-huh. I didn't do Sims.
Okay.
So there were a lot. There's like a huge gap of things that I don't know about.
Yeah.
Into the Wild is one of them.
It's a good one. So anyway, I'll tell you the premise then is he comes from this kind of privileged family, and he decides one day that he's going to go live in a van in Alaska. So he just drops everything and just starts walking. And it's a pretty cool story. He ends up dying in the van, and it's really sad. He eats poison berries.
I've actually heard this story.
Yeah. He's kind of a dummy. I mean, honestly, if you want my opinion on it, but
I mean,
you know, that's
like
it's a crazy
food.
Yeah, it's a crazy. Yeah, they don't have that in the Alaskan wilderness. You can't go get some McNuggets or anything.
You got to stock up.
That's right.
Peanuts.
That's right. He did. I think he like you know it's he got stuck out there longer due to weather. I think was what it was. So, you know, tragic story. But that guy just picked up and left one day, which I was like, man, that's so cool. But I hate walking to get coffee to the end of the block. So I know.
Oh, that's what I'm excited about. I love walking around, and I'm really excited not to drive.
Yeah. Oh, I do. I mean, I ride a bicycle, and I do it. I would just, if I had my choice, I would just stay stationary. If I could have everything at my disposal, then I would be good. But since I have to do it, I hate driving too. I have a car, but I never do it. I either ride my bike or walk. And it's very accessible down here to do that.
Yeah, this is a good spot. I live really close to here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like the neighborhood, but New York's exciting.
I know. I can't wait. I really can't.
Do you have like, okay, so you got a couch to sleep on?
I've got a couch to sleep on.
So you know people up there too? You're not going in blind?
Yeah, my college roommate, we lived together for 3 years. She lives there. She lives in the exact area I want to live, and mm-hmm. she's been really helpful about pointing me in the right direction.
Which part are you going to live in?
In Bushwick.
Okay.
Bushwick's in Brooklyn. It's off the L train.
Okay,
it's
right on.
It's not Williamsburg. It's a lot cheaper than that. It's kind of up and coming.
Gentrified, getting all gentrified up.
Yeah, and if you ask somebody who knew about it like 10 years ago, they would be like, don't live there. But, I mean, the L train runs through there. It's super easy to get into Manhattan, and yeah. I'm going to try and live off the Morgan stop.
Right on.
So, I've got like, I know where I want to be pretty exactly. And I know that. I know there's different apps that you can use to try and find spots and coffee shops.
Oh, yeah.
Flyers.
And you can even use your brand new iPhone 6 that the Sprint guy gave you.
I know.
And it tells you what trains to take and buses and everything.
Yeah. And he's a cool guy. He seemed cool, and that was really nice of him to do that for me. But now I feel...
Are you saying there might have been a love connection if you weren't moving to New York?
I don't know how to put this.
No.
No, I've got too many relationship drama things.
Uh-oh.
I mean, not
What's
really.
What's that mean?
I just, you know.
Let's talk about
I'm
it.
Just banging my ex.
Oh, okay, right on. I think we've all done that for a little while,
yeah,
at least.
Yeah, he lives down the street, too.
Okay, cool. Yeah, yeah.
We're all here together.
Yeah, this is a very packed community. That's why I was kind of surprised that we'd never crossed paths at any time, but, you know. That's kind of refreshing to me that maybe there's some new people that I'll eventually get to meet. So that's good. So when did you start painting?
2 years ago.
Oh, really? Did you go to college for
I went art? To college for art, but actually, well, if we're going to be technical about it, I drew a lot when I was little.
Mm-hmm.
And I did some painting in school, in high school. But, I mean, it was just like my one art class a day for 50 minutes I would do a bad painting. But I did AP art my senior year of high school at St. Pete High, and I really loved it a lot because I was taking 5 other AP classes and I was spending far more time on the art section. So at orientation I just signed up for art classes, and they were pretty much like, if you don't get in right now, you're going to be behind and graduate late. So I signed up for them not really knowing what it was going to be about, and they threw us into this crash course for contemporary art, and it was called Warp, and they had installation, performance art, and basically they just, you either loved it or hated it, and the people who hated it pretty much dropped out or became graphic designers,
right?
And the people who loved it were me, who became the sculptors.
Yeah, yes. And this was in high school or college?
That's college. That was my first semester of college.
Where'd you go to college?
University of Florida.
Oh, okay, right on.
They have a really good program for sculpture, ceramics.
Uh-huh.
So, I was doing video installations, and they said, well, what are you thinking about majoring in? And I said, painting. They said, no.
They don't have a painting program there?
They
meaning?
Do. They do. It's just not, I don't want to say it's not as good, but it's not as good.
What's not good about it?
Just, I think that the vibe that I got was that the professors weren't really as involved, or were more lax. It was more lax program than the sculpture major was more intense. Plus, being a sculpture major, you got access to the wood shop, you got taught to weld, you learned so much about everything, and bronze pour is all of that.
You would think, was it like the guidance counselor that was telling you, like, oh, don't do, you know,
No, it was the Warp professor. The Warp was the crash course to contemporary art.
Okay.
And he was super conceptual, and I think it's a really good school for conceptual art, which is, it's still really important to me. Like, yeah. I just did a show pretty much.
Was this the one I saw on Instagram? It was a bunch of girls in bikinis.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know where this is, but I should be there. And I didn't get there.
That's a UF training right there.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about that, like what that was.
So, can I bring it back to the painting real quick?
Sure.
Just to make everything make a little bit more sense. But
okay.
So I graduated with a sculpture degree and I loved it, just to be clear about that. But then I came back here, and after I went to Art Basel for the first time, I realized that it was going to be hard to sell my installations.
Mm.
So that's really what motivated me to do painting. And I fell in love with it way more than I thought that I would. So I really was into it. And I think painting is going to be the thing that I do first and foremost in my art career. But I also think that it's important as a conceptual and contemporary artist to have sort of like installation, performative, contemporary pieces. And that's what the bikini thing was.
Okay, so before we talk about that, you said it would be tough to sell an installation.
Right.
Does anybody sell installations? That seems like it'd be such a hard sell, like, for lack of a better word.
What
would you do with it when someone did purchase it? Like, what would they be purchasing in that time? You know what I mean?
See, I was kind of confused about that too, because at Art Basel that year when I went and was checking it out, I didn't really see installation work. And when I did, I was kind of like things nailed into the wall, and I was with string attached. It's like, okay, so if I do this, then I'm going to have to install this in somebody's mansion. It just didn't seem like it was going to happen. And I think that how most installation work works is, it's either sponsored by a gallery or a nonprofit space, or you get a grant.
So they pay you for the actual installation, but then it goes away. It's like a one-time only thing. And I guess, like, what could you, like, take pictures and sell prints or something like that, maybe?
Yeah, you could do that. Or maybe working with an institution or a common goal. I think that installations are more collaborative, mm-hmm. mostly, and you have to find the funding for it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So tell me about the performance piece that you did, the bikini one.
So that was called Purgatory in Paradise, and it's been kind of bouncing around in my head for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to kind of make paintings about it at first. So the whole concept is the feeling of stagnation that I get from living here, and just kind of getting drunk all the time and getting high all the time and not really living up to my full potential, and everyone's cool with it.
Okay.
And not really feeling like I was being pushed. So you can see I'm like a New York.
Yeah. So that's my question. And if you're just joining us, we're sitting down with Emily Miller. She's a visual artist currently in St. Petersburg, Florida, on her way out to New York, New York.
And I also go by Family Killer.
Yeah. I want to ask you about that too, because okay. that sounds like it's going to be interesting. Okay, you did the installation.
Bikinis.
Oh, no. So what is your... So you're getting drunk, you're getting high here. What's going to stop that in another place? Why do you think a new place is going to be beneficial to you as far as being motivating to maybe... Is it that you're not... And by that, meaning, is that hurting your work?
I don't think it's hurting my work right now. I think that I'm really driven and motivated. I'm just sort of observing the whole vibe of the community, which, don't get me wrong, I love it, but I think I just need something a little bit more fast-paced.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I wasn't really... I was kind of trying to have fun with the whole Florida lifestyle.
Yeah.
and also kind of talk about some more serious things like addiction, which has been a big problem for a lot of my friends throughout high school and college.
Sure.
And actually said ex-boyfriend.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was funny. It was supposed to be funny, and we had a whole mass, and it was really sarcastic, but there were serious undertones to it, and you could find that in the details of the installation.
Did you like video it or anything? Is it?
Yeah, we had a videographer, Kanika Him. She did the video work for it, and she's still. I mean, it just happened, so we'll have it all compiled together, and we'll be putting it on YouTube or Vimeo or whatever.
Yeah, right on. You gotta send that to me. At some
I will
point, for sure.
Yeah.
So you go by Femily Killer.
I do.
Did you sign your work that way, or how
yes,
did that
I
come
do.
About? So tell me about Femily Killer.
So I like working in persona,
mm-hmm.
Sort of like alter egos, and I think Femily Killer was my last alter ego was Pink Girl.
Okay.
That was in college, and she was an idiot, so I killed her. She was just
how
kind
did
of
she
like,
go? How did Pink Girl get it?
Well, she had this arch nemesis, the Green, and uh-huh. it was kind of like an art school color theory thing.
Uh-huh,
The Green killed Pink Girl. The Green was like this ominous, deadly force, and he killed her through posing as a piece of candy.
Mm-hmm.
That was a video installation in school. So Femily Killer is kind of like Pink Girl, but resurrected and more street
wiser.
Smart. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. A little older, a little wiser. Sure.
And I actually didn't come up with Femily Killer. That was, I don't know if you know Ryan Carpenter.
I know that name. I don't know.
He moved to New York too, but he used to live around here, and we dated for like 3 weeks, but it mm-hmm. counts because we dated over my 21st birthday.
Oh, okay.
So he's in right lots on. Of pictures.
Yeah, yeah, right on.
So he came up with my Bond girl name. I was like, I need a Bond girl name. He's like, Femily Killer. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, that yes. works. Yeah, that definitely
so
works
perfect.
For you.
So, yeah, Femily Killer, besides Emily Miller being like one of the most common girls' names in America, it's not very Googleable.
Yeah.
Femily Killer is kind of like a step removed from me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of, I can perform a little bit
right.
under that. I mean, it's pretty close to me, but
yeah, I've always, you know, I started out with, WOM was the original one that I used.
WOM.
And that was, I killed that one off because that was one that an ex-girlfriend gave me.
Oh, okay.
And I had for many years people calling me that, and I'd be like, you can't call me that anymore.
WOM's
I'm
dead.
Not that guy anymore. Yeah. So that's when I started painting originally because it was like, I didn't want anybody to know. I'd rather just keep that side kind of a separate thing and have me be me here, and then I can do the other stuff on the other side. And then I came up with the Homemade Man and then Mark Maker, and now I'm kind of getting to the point where I used to do like more street stuff, and now I don't really do that anymore because I'm afraid, and I'm 30 now, and I'm old, and I can't go to jail.
You don't look like you're 30.
That's a good thing about it, yeah. But I definitely am 30. I feel it every day.
You look like you're my age. I'm 23.
You're 23, yeah. Yeah, I know. I feel like if I shave this off, I'll look like I'm 8 months old. So, but I just have this to cover up my double chin, so
oh
you know,
my
it works
God.
For me. But so when I was
well,
doing
work
that,
it.
Yeah, exactly. So I know about the personas, but now I'm getting to a point now where I'm kind of getting more comfortable. I think I'm getting to know myself a lot more over the past few years, definitely. So now I'm not afraid to use my name so much, but also my last name just stinks. It's K-U-N-C-Z, and it's kind of, I'm sure it doesn't sound,
oh, okay.
It's pronounced Kuntz, but it Kuntz. Sounds like it could be something else.
Kuntz.
So that was always, first day of school was always a little rough for me. So that was another motivator to use another name. But then when I started to do shows and stuff like that, then I wanted the recognition. So then I started kind of just using my real name. But I'll still sign stuff, Mark Maker, or, you know, Homemade, or whatever sometimes. Just depends what kind of mood I'm in at the time.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I wish I didn't have to use a persona name. But Emily Miller just doesn't really work enough.
It is pretty basic, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like bare-bone kind of name.
Yeah.
And people usually, I have to tell them to call me Femily Killer on my show flyers because people know me as Emily.
Mm-hmm.
And people on the internet know me as Femily, so it's interesting when I come across somebody who I say, oh, I'm Emily Miller, that I was internet friends with, and they'll say, who? I'll say, Femily Killer, and then they're like,
oh,
okay.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel like it's just more so around St. Pete where people know me as Emily, and then
right.
on the internet,
yeah.
and Femily.
Yeah, that's what's up. So when did you're 23,
mm-hmm.
and when did you You're at UF. You graduated from UF.
It's been about 2 years.
Okay. And you're, are you from St. Pete area originally?
Yeah, kind of. I was born here.
Okay.
And I lived in Pennsylvania for a little bit with my dad, and I've been kind of back and forth. And then Gainesville for UF.
Gainesville's a fun town. I kind of had, I had a girlfriend that went there, so I was there every weekend, pretty
oh,
much.
Yeah.
It was, I spent, so what is that, seven days a week, let's call it, what, conservatively 25% of my time, you know, about in Gainesville. And it was, man, it's a fun place to be for a college person, that's for sure. I wouldn't want to be there, though, now.
No, as soon as I graduated, I was like, okay,
time to
it's
go.
Time to go right now.
Yeah.
I had,
yeah,
like, my last blowout weekend there, and then I was gone.
Just remember, you could go get beers for 5 cents.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Beat the clock.
Yeah. So you would just get hammered, and then...
Penny Wine Night for ladies.
Gosh. Yeah.
Yeah, that was at Beef O'Brady's.
Beef O'Brady's?
Beef O'Brady's in the Holiday Inn.
Oh, yeah. My God. What, did they have wing specials, too?
I don't know. I was definitely there for the wine.
Yeah, it was a crazy town. It was very fun. I remember the sports teams were good, too, then. So
oh, yeah.
I did the parades after they won the basketball parade. I remember that really vividly, just double-fisting beers, walking down University with just, it seemed like, thousands of people.
I'm sure it was thousands of people. Because
yeah,
the stadium holds, what, like 90,000 people? So game days were always crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was an art major, though, and we weren't winning when I was there. My first year there was our last year with Tebow.
Oh, okay.
And he only stayed for the semester, but I couldn't find anybody to go with me to the games because I used to be a cheerleader.
Oh, really?
So if nothing else, I wanted to get drunk and watch the cheerleaders.
Yeah, sure. So you didn't, did you cheer all through high school?
Yeah, I cheered all through elementary, middle, and high school, and I was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I was the captain of the cheerleading team.
So no scholarships for cheerleading?
They
or
don't do
like
that.
They don't do that?
They really don't.
How do they have cheerleaders then in school? You just try out?
Yeah, you know, it's a power move.
You gotta
prestige
like,
thing.
Pay for your own expenses, travel, all that?
I'm sure that they help pay for... I can't really speak to it, to be honest, but I'm sure that they pay for the sport itself, but I know that there were no special scholarships. I tried out for UF cheerleading too, actually.
What about... Like, there's teams, right? I mean, there's cheerleading teams. I've seen it on ESPN that are, like, really good. What about those people? Is that separate from game day cheerleaders and those competitions?
It was a UF.
Yeah.
Yeah, the game day cheerleaders were co-ed, and then I think they had a competition team that was separate. But, yeah, I don't know. I went to the tryouts and everything, and I made it to the last cut, and I couldn't throw my standing back tuck.
Oh, no. What is that?
It's a backflip standing on the ground with no hands.
Wow.
So it's kind of like you sonic tuck
yeah.
into a ball and then you land.
Wow.
But I could always do that. And I couldn't do it that day. And I feel like it was kind of divine intervention because...
Push you maybe in a direction that...
Art.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't worry. I used to... I don't really know what I believe as far as fate or, you know, luck or anything like that. But... I just don't worry about it either way, just because I don't know. And I think I'm leaning towards this, like, fatalism thing, where things are meant to be, they are, and things, you'll meet certain people at certain times, you get pushed in one direction. So now when bad stuff happens, I kind of just look at it like that, even though it's maybe terrible at the time, but it kind of leads you to get somewhere, it seems like.
I guess I just don't really know how I feel, but I do feel like sometimes the universe is giving me clues that I'm
yeah.
in the right place at the right time.
It's a living, breathing thing, I'm telling you.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I'm not going to go into my whole astrology thing, but...
Let's talk about it. You want to talk astrology?
I'll talk about it for like 2 seconds because I did a podcast with my friend Noe recently, and I talked about
what
it.
What podcast?
Noe No Filter. He just started it, but
okay.
They're like really long format interviews, two hours...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and we met at a show, and we just kind of hit it off pretty well. He's a Gemini, I'm a Leo, so that works.
And those two go together pretty well?
Yeah.
Okay. What about Sagittarius?
I am a Sagittarius moon, and Sagittarius and Leo go together great because they're both fire signs, so you're a Sagittarius?
I am, yes.
Okay.
November 25th is my birthday. I'm pretty sure it's what it is.
Cool.
Yeah. So you're into it though. I could tell. Like,
yeah, I'm into
yeah.
it. I'm into it, and people think that I'm crazy, but that's fine with me.
Is it? Are you into it because it's fun to think about, or do you Is it like, yes, this is kind of like my Bible? Like, I'm kind of... Like, how serious are you into it?
I'm open to everything.
Mm-hmm. That's important.
It's not my Bible, but I can sometimes guess people's signs. My dad's a Sagittarius, so I've been able to guess Sagittarius people before.
Yeah.
Like, I was talking to some guy who was living on a sailboat, and he was really into transcendental meditation, and I was just like, you're totally Sagittarius. And he's like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I can guess Leo sometimes, too. And
was that, like, you always been into that, or is there something that happened where you kind of were like, oh, you know?
Porch life in the summer in St. Pete, I was, my friend Anna Serena has this amazing porch, and we used to just sit out there every day for 12 hours a day and get drunk and talk about astrology.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, yeah. And then I guess I got more into it because I figured out, or I learned more about the whole birth chart and just kind of thinking about it as like energy in different parts of the universe, mm-hmm. and how that could possibly affect you. So I feel like I'm approaching it at least a little bit scientifically.
Okay.
And I feel like Mercury retrograde sucks, so.
I looked at that because I forget even how I heard it. It might have actually been your Twitter feed. And I was like, what is
it
that?
It was probably my Twitter feed.
So I looked it up, and it said, I found out what it was. It's where Mercury appears to switch back or go in reverse, right? Mm-hmm. And then one of the things was, I just signed my lease here. And one of the things was like, don't make any decisions. And I was like, I personally am like, whatever. But secretly, I was like,
Freaking out a little bit.
I should have waited, you know, just in case. I'm not superstitious necessarily, but if there's... I don't know, something that, I don't know. It just weirded me out because I came across it and I was like, oh man, I don't believe this, but damn.
Oh, the last one was so intense for me. I had just broken up with my last boyfriend and it seemed like it was going to go really smoothly and we were just going to be friends. And this day of Mercury retrograde, just all hell broke loose.
So was this like recent then?
Yeah, pretty recent. And then I'm, you know, been with my other ex-boyfriend and I never thought that would happen. So that was like, what?
Mm.
What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a really weird 3 weeks.
So is it just like what, just to kill time until you're in New York, basically one of those type of things?
Personal.
I don't want to catch you off guard.
No, it's okay. It's been like a really long 9-year on off kind of thing.
Holy moly.
So
since you were like, how old are you? 23? Were you 14?
Yeah, 13? I guess 8 years then because 15, but.
Wow. I don't even know anybody from when I was 15.
Yeah. I saw him. We have the same last name. So I saw him on the first day of school in high school and he was like, walking past me, it was like a movie moment. And I was like, oh my God, I'll never date him. He was in my homeroom.
Yeah.
And yeah, we definitely have dated a couple times.
So you went back, how long has it been since that initial split up to back now?
I mean, this last time was a really long time. It was like 3 years.
Wow.
Because he had some problems that he had to deal with. And there was, I mean, you know, just life, but...
That's wild. I'm not friends with any of my ex people.
Well, some people just keep coming back to you and you can't really...
Yeah, it's weird. I had actually reached out to an ex-girlfriend from years ago. And during Christmas time, I think I was just feeling, you know, I was reminiscing and stuff. And I just wanted to say hello and, you know, say hi to her. And basically her response was, what? And I was just like, oh, I just, you know, just wanted to say hello, see how you were doing, wish you a happy holiday. She's like, okay, well, thanks.
I've been that girl before, too, though.
And sometimes you gotta be, you know, maybe it's for the best. But I just found, especially since then, like, now I'm afraid to... And also, it's like, come on, I got enough girls that are... I don't need any more girlfriends.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't like you like that. I don't like you as a friend, you know? You can't... I feel like potentially you could upgrade a relationship... You can't really downgrade, at least
no,
in my case.
I don't
it's hard
think
to downgrade a relationship. Because even now, when you're talking with an ex, it's not just a friendship level. There's some intimacy there.
Well,
like
I was
that.
Like, I've told him a million times, and he's told me the same thing right back. We're not going to be friends ever.
Yeah.
We're not friends.
It's just silly.
Yeah, like, I could never, if he was with somebody else, I could never be like, oh, hey, like, hello, you and your new girlfriend.
I tried. I dated this, the last one that I dated. I tried. And
the
it
last
was,
one.
Yeah, that's what I don't even call him by name. but we tried, and then we tried, you know, I saw it a couple times, and it was friendly, you know. See, and this is a difference, too. Like, people would be like, you don't want to be I'll be friendly, like, if I see you. Oh, hey, you know, I'm not going to, you know, be a bitch to you, but, you know. But, and I had a fight with a mutual friend, and I hadn't spoken to her in a while, so the mutual friend went to her, and then I got a text message from her, and basically, like, calling me names, essentially, and I was like, okay, see, this is why I don't want to, so I just didn't even, forget it.
There's probably some, like, small-town St. Pete drama weaved in that story.
You know, not much, really. I kinda,
oh, really?
It's just... well, she was young. She was 20, 21.
That's
so
pretty young.
Yeah, she just doesn't know anything. But she'll learn. She'll get there. We're all learning every day. I still don't know anything really either. But, you know.
Yeah, I'm also working on that, obviously.
It's a due process, you know. But let's talk about your painting a little bit more before, because we only got a couple minutes left, believe it or not.
Okay.
You do portrait painting primarily?
Yes, that's what I enjoy doing the most. So, yeah.
What is it about, because I like to draw people too. I find them the most fascinating. What is it about people as opposed to drawing or painting other different things that you like?
I think that I just am interested in humanity in general. Not really things or settings, but people themselves.
Yeah.
And I'm also, how do I put this? I'm also really interested in sort of the internal part of people and not just the external social media branded how I'm going to present myself to the world. And I think the kind of portraiture that I do brings out the internal being in them.
Mm-hmm.
So my portraits are emotional.
Yeah, and if you're just joining us, we're sitting down with Emily Miller. She's a visual artist working in St. Petersburg. It's soon to be New York. Yeah, what I notice about your portraits is their facial expressions are what really gets me about yours, because they change dramatically based on piece to piece.
Yeah.
But that's really important. I like the way you paint your eyes, you know, because the eyes are the most expressive part of the body. But I found that interesting about your work, is you're able to capture that pretty well.
Do you
use models, or is it stuff that comes from your head?
Some of them have been sort of like made up people with some photographic references. I don't really like doing that as much. I like photographing people that I know. That's what I do primarily.
Yeah. And I guess probably because you know them and you can probably capture some of that personality in your own kind of representation.
I mean, people are exciting to me, so that's why it's interesting. And like, even the installation I just did, I had my performers were my high priestesses. They're all my friends. So yeah. I pretty much picked the people who would be perfect for that role. And I guess I'm just obsessed with the people that I know.
Yeah, I'm with you. I kind of feel like people are the most interesting. Like, I don't like reality television, but I really like if I'm watching TV, it's usually like a documentary on somebody that's doing something weird or crazy or something like
that. I've got a good one for you.
Okay, good.
If you haven't seen it already.
Yeah, write it down for me before you go.
Okay.
Because I got Netflix now. My mom got it, so I have
Netflix.
Oh,
it's on Netflix.
Yes. Oh, sweet. Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, I always find, I try to draw other things, but I mean, most of it, all this is basically mine in here. It's all
cool.
People.
Yeah.
I mean, I just find, I think I kind of have this love-hate relationship, you probably do too, with it's humanity's easy to get frustrated with, but also we've achieved some amazing things so far, and we're pretty young in our history. We could destroy ourselves in another 100 years, which it's looking like that might be
or
the
like
case.
Two.
Yeah. But, you know, hopefully, because I'll see something, I'm like, oh my God, like, I can't believe that, like, a plane crashes, somebody took a plane down, or, you know, or the planet's heating up and all this stuff. But then I'll see something like this scientist made a discovery that, like, I saw something that they've cut, they found a way to cook rice, for instance, that cuts the calories down in half or something.
I just heard about this. That was the first thing that was said to me when I woke up this morning.
It's amazing. To me, I was like, whoa, that's cool. Like, you know, it's just something neat.
With, like, coconut oil or something?
Something, I don't know.
I don't know.
I wasn't that interested where I actually read the whole article, but I was like, wow, that's really cool. But that gave me hope for, like, you know, we do silly things. But just like us human beings at 20, you don't know anything. And as you start to grow, you find some more stuff out. So hopefully we're digging ourselves a hole, humanity as a whole. But maybe we can dig ourselves out of it, too, at a certain point.
I guess I like the whole gray area of things. And I like the three dimensionality of people and circumstances. Not just the good or the bad, but the middle ground and complex people are interesting to me.
Yeah.
So I think that's my fascination with people and in myself too, because I think about my actions a lot and I think about, well, that was a good move. That was a bad move. And there's no situation that's just one or the other.
No. And I think that's kind of like morality is kind of a open-ended thing. It's still an ongoing discussion. There is, I don't know. I haven't found like a right or wrong necessarily. Maybe you shouldn't kill people, but you know, maybe sometimes you should too. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not in the camp of, I haven't killed anyone.
That's
so
good. I haven't either yet.
I haven't been in a situation where I felt the need to, so that's cool.
Yes, that's, you should be feel fortunate for that, because pretty much that's pretty rare to not have to kill anybody. Everywhere else in the world, they're all killing each other. So we live in a society.
Well, we're killing all of them.
Yeah, that too. And we're also adding to it, right?
You know, the other funny thing is that after I heard about the rice, half-calorie rice thing,
mm-hmm.
right after that, I was talking about The Silence of the Lambs, which I've never seen before. And that's about a murderer who eats people, right?
Yeah, Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah.
He's the most, diabolical. He's like this super genius, but he's also like a mass murderer.
Yeah,
my mom let me watch it when I was like 12.
I don't do scary movies or freaky movies.
It's not really, I wouldn't say it's scary, but it's weird. It's definitely weird. But anyways, go ahead. What were you saying about
it? I was just saying that that's funny that we were going from murder to, we also talked about the plane crash this morning. So we just brought up every single thing that I talked about this morning, which is one of those
cued
into the universe kind of things that I feel like, oh, I'm in the right place here.
Right. I'm telling you, I'm believing, I'm finding very much in this life that there is a yin and a yang, and that is true. I used to have these little stress balls that my cousin got for me that, you know, they had the bells in them, mm-hmm. and you put them in your hands and do that. They're stupid, but I still have them, and I always like the yin-yang symbol, but I'm finding in everything equals zero, I think I found so far. But anyways, that's it.
All right.
Almost out of here. So tell everybody how to find you and, you know, social media and all that.
Okay. With pleasure. Well, my Instagram is what I use most often, and my username is Femily Killer. That's FemilyKiller. And you can find me on Facebook. I have a fan page, or at Femily Killer on Twitter.
All right. Great. Emily, thanks for coming in. You can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/thehomemadebroadcast, facebook.com/Radio St. Pete. My Twitter is home_made_man. That goes for Instagram as well. So, for Radio St. Pete, my name is Will Kuntz. Have a good one. I love you. Bye.
See ya.